Suns Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. This week, we're spotlighting a couple of now-retired African football stars. Tuesday's show was topped by two-time African Footballer of the Year, Didier Drogba of Ivory Coast. And Wednesday's show features Olympic champion and 1994 African Footballer of the Year, Emmanuel Amunike of Nigeria. The 49-year-old Amunike has fond memories of playing for Nigeria's dream team, the first African team to win the gold medal in men's football at the Olympics. Playing here in the USA, in the southern state of Georgia, Nigeria beat Mexico, Brazil, and Argentina in the knockout stage at the 1996 Olympics. In the final, Amunike scored the winning goal in a 3-2 victory against Argentina. Looking back 24 years, Emmanuel Amunike tells Iron Mike Mbonye he's grateful to be a member of Nigeria's gold medal winning team.
Well, I feel privileged to have been part of that team. I think the Olympic was one of, you know, was the major event that Africa have achieved. And winning the Olympic, you know, gave us more slot as an African to participate in other events. So I feel privileged, I feel honored. And I'm grateful for my country, you know, for giving me the opportunity to serve them.
As a member of the Olympic gold medal team, what is the secret behind your success?
Well, the secret is self-confidence. The secret is being disciplined. The secret is working very hard. The secret is having the desire to succeed. The secret is having the desire to, you know, to move from one step or one level to another. I think this is the secret of success. Being humble, being disciplined, exhibiting humility, and then doing what is right. I think that is the secret of success. Although sometimes it takes time, but of course, no matter how time and how long it takes, you know, time will always, you know, put you in a place that you deserve to be, as long as you are doing what is needful and what is right.
Do you think Nigeria can assemble another team to win an Olympic gold in football?
Well, I have always believed that Nigeria can repeat what we have done or even surpass what we have done in 96. But the fact also remains we have to, you know, we have to analyze things from a holistic point of view. We have to continue to develop our young players. We have to see how we can improve our football. We have to create a common ground where the level of competition will be high. So I think these are the direction that we can take that will afford us the possibility, you know, to develop next generation that can even, you know, go to the World Cup and do beyond. It's not just about winning the Olympic anymore or qualifying. I think that, you know, trying to move from one step to another, and the next step is to see how we can do something meaningful in the World Cup.
That's Emmanuel Amunike, the 1994 African Footballer of the Year and the former coach of Tanzania's national team. And he was talking with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Cairo, Egypt.
Sporty greetings. This is Emmanuel Amunike, former Nigerian player, former Tanzanian coach. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Many thanks. Remain blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Ivory Coast striker Solomon Kalou, who is celebrating his 35th birthday on this Wednesday. Kalou is best known for his time at Chelsea between 2006 and 2012. He lifted numerous trophies with the Blues of Chelsea, including the Premier League, the UEFA Champions League, 4 FA Cups, and the League Cup. Solomon has also made 97 international appearances for the Ivory Coast national team and scored 28 goals. Kalou has represented the Elephants of Ivory Coast at 2 World Cups, 6 Africa Cup of Nations tournaments, as well as the 2008 Olympics in China. Last month, Solomon signed an 18-month contract with the Brazilian club Botafogo. Happy 35th birthday, Solomon Kalou.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. Turning to tennis, 4-time U.S. Open champion Rafael Nadal will not defend his title this year. The Spanish star announced on Twitter he'll skip the major tournament in New York because of concerns about the coronavirus. In doing so, the 34-year-old Nadal will forego an opportunity to tie Roger Federer's men's record of 20 major titles. And speaking of Federer, he'll also miss the U.S. Open in New York after having a procedure on his knee. But getting back to Rafa, he said on Twitter, and I quote, "The situation is very complicated worldwide. The COVID-19 cases are increasing. It looks like we still don't have control of it." And Rafa goes on to say, "This is a decision I never wanted to take, but I have decided to follow my heart this time, and for the time being, I rather not travel." The U.S. Open is scheduled to begin August 31st in New York without spectators and under strict health and safety protocols. Nadal is the second elite player to announce he won't travel to New York. Women's world number one, Ashley Barty of Australia, announced July 29th she would not risk international travel amid the pandemic. Nadal's announcement came just hours after the Madrid Open in his home country of Spain canceled this year's tournament. World number one Novak Djokovic of Serbia leads the U.S. Open men's entry list unveiled Tuesday. Meanwhile, Djokovic has reflected on his career along with British rival Andy Murray. And VOA's Gwen Uten joins us now with more details. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. As millions of people hunker down to ride out the coronavirus pandemic, many are reaching out to friends and family via social media. Tennis greats Novak Djokovic and Andy Murray reached across the globe for an Instagram Live Q&A. The two athletes look back on their careers, their on-court rivalry, and answered questions from 20,000 fans who tuned in. And when asked about their most painful loss on the court, Andy Murray said his 2016 loss to Djokovic in the French Open final remains one of his most shattering defeats, an admission that took Djokovic a bit by surprise.
Roland Garros, really?
Yeah. Okay. If I could change one result, because obviously I would have loved to have won the Australian Open or the French Open, but I think, like, as a challenge for me, because clay was such a tough surface for me throughout, like, my career, and just for, in terms of the way that I played, like, on clay, it was the hardest one for me to adapt to. That I think that would have been, for me, my biggest achievement if I'd managed just to win the French. Obviously, Australia's been pretty painful, thanks to you, over the years. But yeah, if I could change one, I'd take the French Open off you. And obviously for you, that was obviously for you to win. Well, that was the first time you won the French, right?
So. Yeah, it was the only time, exactly.
In that championship, Djokovic came back from a first set loss to defeat Murray and complete a career Grand Slam. But while Djokovic can claim a French Open title, the world number one says his defeats to Murray and Rafael Nadal in the 2012 and 2008 Olympic Games were two of his toughest losses.
I think it would be related to Olympic Games. So maybe the match played against you in London, or Rafa in Beijing, 2008.
Was that in the semis?
Yeah, I lost semis, like, also very close. As like, it was 3-0, 4-0, I had something like 15-3, 15-40 or something like that. And I lost, like, I think 6-4, 7-5 in the third. I missed an overhead, very easy overhead, which is quite typical of me throughout my career.
I think I've seen that one a couple of times.
I had like 15 best months of my career behind me before Rio, and then I remember I was practicing for 2 hours on the center court singles, and then I went on with Serbian guys to practice for another like hour and a half doubles.
Yeah.
And I start to feel my wrist at the end of the doubles sets that we played.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it's just, I'm tired, it's all, you know. And it started to be more painful. And I don't want this to sound like an excuse, because it's because of that I lost to the Potros. Absolutely not. I mean, I was enabled. I did get some injections, and I, you know, I had to go out on the court and, like, try. But I felt really sad that I wasn't at my best, and I had a really tough draw. I felt like if I had made a slightly better draw, then I could kind of work my way in the tournament. So probably, yes, I would, if I had a chance to turn back the time and maybe change the outcomes, would be probably Rio or London with you in 12.
Djokovic has yet to win an Olympic gold medal, a feat Andy Murray has achieved twice. Murray is still on the road to recovery from a hip operation in 2019, and as he works to get back to top form, the 3-time Grand Slam champion says he's learned it's more important to appreciate the successes than dwell on the losses.
Looking back with the issues I've had the last couple of years, I do wish that I'd enjoyed those moments more. Because when you see that maybe the end is coming, you realize, like, you know, I should have enjoyed, like, the wins and the, you know, big matches. Or, you know, even some of the ones that you lost as well that were great matches, to try and, you know, get some enjoyment out of them. Because for sure we'll miss it when it's, you know, when it's not there anymore. So yeah, it's, I don't know, yeah, it's important to be critical of yourself even in, like, good moments, but you need to try and enjoy the wins. I wish I'd done that a bit better, for sure.
And when the athletes were asked what they would have done rather than play tennis, Djokovic spoke of his affinity for science, an interest echoed by Murray.
Well, I would probably stay in sports because I come from family of, you know, athletes. My dad was playing football and professional skier as well. So I would probably be in sports, even though I do love science.
Okay.
So I do love science, so I probably would love to be a scientist of some kind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I've always said footballer. I always fancy myself as a bit of a footballer, but like right now, it'd be pretty cool to be a doctor because you kind of realize what's important in times like this. It'd be nice to actually be able to help other people as well. But
absolutely.
And the two men are making an impact off the court. Andy Murray has made a donation to the Addenbrookes Charitable Trust to help his native UK fight the coronavirus. And Novak Djokovic has pledged funds to help buy ventilators and medical equipment for his home country, Serbia. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Ugandan football officials are hoping a new arrangement for their domestic leagues will attract sponsors and develop young talent. Under the new format, the top league will have 12 teams and the lower division will feature 16. Magume Davis Rakawinj reports from Kampala.
Nicholas Chiza, the Deputy Chief Executive Officer for the Federation of the Ghana Football Association, or FUFA, and the head of the competitions committee, says the new format is expected to start with next season, 2020-2021.
We are reducing the number of clubs from 34. The current situation, which has 16 Premier League clubs and 18 Premier League clubs. So under a new arrangement, we want them to be 28, 12 Premier League clubs and 16 Premier League clubs. We hope under one management, the Premier League, the Reserve League and the Big League can give us better results, better brands and more competition.
Chiza says the federation is consulting with different stakeholders, including former Cranes players, club owners, sponsors, and sports administrators, to ensure the new format benefits the entire football fraternity in the country.
We will encourage the Premier League sides to still own the and manage the under-17 side, but we are going to make it mandatory for the big league side to have an under-17 outfit to play in these leagues. Our target is how about 10 which would give us about 6,000 to 8,000 players at a go. This is going to be a very good fishing ground for the bigger sides, and it's also going to fit in very well in our player development cycle.
But former Uganda Cranes player Mutibu Kasule is opposed to proposed reforms. Kasule, who runs both a football academy and club Proran FC, says reducing the number of clubs will stifle chances of hundreds of thousands of talented footballers in the country.
The reality in Uganda is we have a lot of talent. Nobody doubts that. Uganda is a league where you have the bottom team, the team that is going to be relegated, producing players for the national team. You see, my team currently is in the relegation, second from bottom. But it is producing players for the national team now, currently, as we speak. So if we have enough talent to spread out in 16, why do you now want to suffocate it in 12?
Presently, a handful of local-based players managed to get a chance to feature for the senior national team, the Uganda Cranes. Sports analyst and reporter Leon Senyange welcomes the new arrangements.
Do the reforms today offer a solution? I personally believe they do, because of the principle that less is more. Putting the numbers to 12, for me, gives an advantage in terms of resource availability, resource distribution, an expanded number of players, but more quality at that. And while there are 12 on the top tier, there will be 16 in the lower tier. And the competitiveness at that level, I believe, is even bigger and better than that in the top, in the Super League.
For the Sunnyside Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakari in Kampala.
Sporting greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunnyside of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight? Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. Here in Washington, the reigning World Series baseball champion Washington Nationals have defeated the New York Mets. The Nationals got a big game from Howie Kendrick, as we hear now from the AP's Craig Heist.
Howie Kendrick homered and had four hits while Patrick Corbin pitched into the sixth inning, allowing three runs while striking out eight to earn his first win as the Nationals won their third straight with a 5-3 win over the Mets. Newly acquired Josh Harrison hit his first homer as a National.
More than anything, man, when you come to a new team, you just want to be able to contribute and help win. And, you know, that was one swing of the bat where I was able to, you know, add a little something to the lineup.
Starlin Castro went 2-for-4 with an RBI. The Nats bullpen was stellar with 3 1/3 scoreless innings. Daniel Hudson pitched a 9th for his second save. Michael Conforto hit a homer for the Mets. Starter Steven Matz lasted 3 innings and suffered the loss. Craig Heist, Washington.
Thanks, Craig. One of the most popular baseball movies ever made was over 30 years ago, Field of Dreams, starring Kevin Costner. Major League Baseball was planning a special Field of Dreams game this season, but it's now been postponed, as we hear now from the AP's Dave Ferry.
They built it, but no one's coming. Major League Baseball's Field of Dreams game has been pushed back to 2021 due to the coronavirus. The Cardinals and White Sox were supposed to square off at a newly constructed ballpark on August 13th. The park sits on the cornfield adjacent to the site of the 1989 movie. The game was originally slated to feature the White Sox and Yankees. Those plans changed following the delayed start to the season. The Cardinals stepped in, but they've had two consecutive series postponed while the team is in quarantine. I'm Dave Ferry.
Yo, yo, yo! Sporty greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigers Nigerian Women's National Team, and Flams Carolo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contact COVID-19. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Evelyn. The National Basketball Association is finishing its season in a special quarantine bubble in Orlando, Florida, to protect the players, staff, and officials from the coronavirus pandemic. In action Tuesday, the Dallas Mavericks defeated the Sacramento Kings 114-110 in overtime. Let's give a sunny side of sports salute to the young Slovenian star Luka Doncic, who had a historic performance for the Mavericks. Doncic was sensational. He finished with 34 points, a career-high 20 rebounds, and 12 assists. At 21 years and 158 days, Luka became the youngest player in NBA history to finish a game with 30 or more points, 20 or more rebounds, and 10 or more assists. Hall of Famer Oscar Robertson was the previous record holder at 23 years and 12 days. Another European player for the Mavericks, the Latvian Kristaps Porzingis, added 22 points and 7 rebounds before fouling out late in regulation time. It was the first victory for Dallas since arriving in Orlando. The Mavericks have already clinched a berth in the NBA playoffs. And that wraps up the August 5th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation of the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.